Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us? Amen. I sure am. Amen. Well, I want to get into tonight's message. I'm going to continue our series that I've started a couple weeks ago on acting like a Christian. I will say this, Brother David, so the teens will be meeting upstairs in pastor's room next Sunday morning, and the juniors will be meeting together. Have a missionary be teaching the junior class, and then we'll have a missionary teaching our teens, and then we'll have a missionary in here for the adult class. And so that was what Brother David was mentioning there. So we will have our teens all meeting upstairs in pastor's normal Sunday school class with a missionary teaching us next Sunday. And so excited about missions conference. I want to say this before I get into my message. It is my oldest child's 15th birthday today. And so I want to just say happy birthday to Leah. I'm actually going to sing it. I'm just playing. I'm not going to do that. I asked her, does she want me to sing to her? But I don't think I'm going to do that to her. I embarrass her enough when it's not her birthday. I'm not going to embarrass her on her birthday. But I do thank God for Leah. She's my oldest child, and she is a blessing to our family. And today's her birthday. And so thank you for being such a good child. Happy birthday. Right? Amen. All right, let's get into the message. Pastor's read to you out of Acts chapter 11, and verse number 26 is the verse that I'm using as a springboard into these messages, where it says that at the end of verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And so we've been looking at what it is to act like a Christian. And as I said in weeks previous, and I want to say it again tonight, when I say act, I do not mean playing a part. I mean being what you are. And the Bible is very clear that as Christians, we ought to live in a way that is becoming, that is appropriate, that matches up with the gospel of Christ. And so I want to look at the book of Acts and try to see some things that I believe we can find in the book of Acts that we need to find in our lives as Christians in 2024, right? In the year of 2024, it should look like what it did in the book of Acts to be a Christian. I really believe that. And so we're going to look at some things. We looked the first week at how they were saved first. And I cannot emphasize enough how important that is. I really believe there's a lot of people. I don't think it's as many in a church like ours, though I do believe there could be some. But in many churches, there are a lot of people trying to act like a Christian, but they're not one. It's hard to act like something you're not. Right? And so the first step to acting like a Christian is to be saved first. If you're here tonight and you say, I really struggle. Now, don't get mixed up what I'm saying. The Christian life can be a struggle. We have a flesh. We have an old man. Paul, the great apostle Paul, said that there was a battle going on inside of him. The old man and the new man. But if you never are able to live in victory in your Christian life, if that were the case for me, if none of these things that we're going to look at were ever an evidence in my life, I'd be real concerned. I'd want to go back to the beginning and make sure that I was saved first. And then after you're saved, I think number two, the important thing is to really act like a Christian is to be spirit-filled. And we talked about that last week. And I do want to mention about being spirit-filled. I felt like last week I didn't really get the message across the way that I wanted to. I'm afraid that in our churches that we have made being filled with the Spirit, maybe we haven't, but Christianity has, made being filled with the Spirit some mystical event. And I just don't believe that's what it is. I believe if you study the Bible, being filled with the Spirit is literally just living a Christian life that is controlled by the Spirit of God. It could be called walking in the Spirit. It could be called being filled with the Spirit. It could be called being led by the Spirit. It's just a person that is yielding their life to the Holy Spirit, day in and day out. And it's so important if we're going to act like a Christian that we understand the importance of being filled with the Spirit. And so number two, we looked at they were Spirit-filled. Tonight, I want to look at another thing that I believe the early church had that I believe is really missing in our day. And I think it's a desperate need. And as I said, in order to do what I'm about to preach tonight, I believe we need to be Spirit-filled. But I really believe as Christians in 2024, we need to speak freely. We need to speak freely. You know, as Americans, I was thinking about it. As Americans, that's one of the things that we pride ourselves in. Our freedom of speech, right? If you were to ask somebody, what does it mean to be an American? Explain to me what it is, what's the benefits of being an American. It would not be long before one of the things that you would say is that we have the freedom of speech. It's a part of the First Amendment of our Constitution, the freedom of speech. And so as Americans, we pride ourselves in the fact that we have freedom of speech. But I wonder how often we really freely speak about things that mean the most. How often do we speak freely about the things that mean the most? We speak freely about some things that don't mean much. People speak freely about their favorite sports team. People speak freely about their favorite restaurant, right? People speak freely about all kinds of different things. If you're real radical, you might even speak freely about politics. But I wonder how often we speak freely about what matters the most. I was thinking about it as I was preparing this message. I was thinking about a guy that I worked with one time. We hired a guy, this was years back, but I hired a guy to come to work for me. And I think it was the first or second day that he worked with me. We were talking, and I could tell he was getting a little he was getting a little bothered by some things that were being said. And he said, "Hey man," he said, "you know something my daddy always told me?" He said, "There's two things that you ain't supposed to talk about." He said, "That's politics and religion." And I probably should have been a little nicer. I'm just gonna be honest, right? I probably wasn't spirit filled at the moment. But I told him, I said, "Well, guess what?" I said, "Man, I hate to be rude here." His name was David. My name's David. I said, "David, I'm not trying to be rude, but your daddy don't own this business. And if you work here, we're going to talk about politics and we're going to talk about religion. And so if you don't like that, you're probably not going to work out real good working around here." I think he worked another day, maybe. I'm not sure. He might not have made it through that day, right? But you know, I'm afraid that that's the lie that's been told in our country. That there's just some things you don't talk about. And those, if I were to ask you tonight, what are two things that people think you're not supposed to talk about? That would be at the top of the list. There may be three, but in the top two would be politics and religion. And can I tell you, I don't know that there's many things more important for us as Christians to talk about. I'm afraid that we used to use the phrase, my grandma used to use this phrase. She'd say, "The cat's got his tongue." You ever heard that before? What in the world does that mean? I mean, what does that got to do with anything? The cat's got his tongue. If you know what that means after church, you come tell me, okay? I didn't Google it, but I'm curious. These phrases come from somewhere. And so I don't know what that one means, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm afraid for some Christians, it's not the cat's got his tongue. I think the devil's got our tongue. I really do. I believe the devil has got our tongue. And he's trying to stop us as Christians from speaking out, especially about the things that mean the most. And in the early church, those Christians in the early church, they were speaking freely. And I want to look at that tonight, how that the Christians in the book of Acts spoke freely. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Well, we'll read verse 19. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Verse 20 says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They said, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They had a case of the can't help it, right? Have you ever heard that, the can't help it, right? I remember Brother Sammy, some of you that were at that meeting at New Life years ago, Brother Sammy Allen was preaching. He kept talking about this lady that would get a case of the can't help it. He said, everybody needs to get a good case of the can't help it every now and then, right? Where you just get so much in the glory. You just get so excited about God that you can't help it, right? I heard one man say one time, there's a difference between can't and can't. And I'll tell you what we need in our day is some can't help it, right? Can't is can not, right? That's what that means, right? Can not. Can't is can not with ain't, right? I cannot and I ain't, right? I can't, right? I can't help but speak. That's what they said. They said, we can't help but speak. We've got to say what we have seen and heard. and how much we as Christians need to get a case of the can't help it when it comes to talking about God. And so the early church, they spoke freely. And I want to look at a couple things, three things tonight that they spoke about how they spoke freely. Number one, I want to look at what they spoke freely about. What they spoke freely about. I won't look through all these references because there's no way that we've got time tonight. But if you would, go to Acts chapter 2 real quick. Look at verse number 16. Acts chapter 2 verse 16 says this. It says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's interesting. Look at Acts chapter 2 verse 25. It says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. That's verse 24 for those of you that were wondering what I'm reading. Verse 25 says, for David speaketh, right? For David speaketh concerning him. That verse I just read to you was a psalm. He was quoting a psalm of David, right? And so look at Acts chapter 3. Look at verse number 18. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Look at verse number 21. It says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath, look at it, spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 22 says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up of your brethren. Verse number 24 says, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after. Right? Look at verse 25. You're the children of the prophets in the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That's Genesis, right? And so here we are in the book of Acts. You know what they were talking about? They were talking about the scriptures. Talking about Joel. Talking about Samuel. Talking about the prophets. Talking about the Psalms and David. Talking about the book of Genesis and what Moses said. They were talking about the scriptures. We could go on. Acts chapter 4 in verse number 31. The Bible says in verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at it. And they spake the word of God with boldness, right? So they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 7, I don't have you turn there, verse number 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know that story? The man was going up and he was reading, it says, in the prophet Isaiah, and Philip joined himself unto him, and he said, how shall I understand unless some man show me? And the Bible says that Philip opened up the scriptures and taught him about Jesus. Acts chapter 13, in verse number 40, the Bible says in Acts 13, 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. All the region, they were publishing the word of God. Acts chapter 17, and verse number 2, the Apostle Paul said, it says about the Apostle Paul, it says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, right, and reasoned with them. Look at Acts chapter 17 real quick. That'd be the last one I'll look at. Acts 17, look at verse number 2. It says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And we could go on and on. There's all kinds of references in the book of Acts of the Old Testament scriptures. And so those early Christians were speaking freely about the scriptures. I wonder how freely we speak about the scriptures. You know, as Christians, we ought to be talking about the Word of God. We got to read it in court to talk about it, right? We got to know it so we can talk about it. But you know what we ought to do tomorrow? I don't want to give you a bunch of information without application. You know what we ought to do tomorrow? We ought to go to work tomorrow, and we ought to speak freely about the scriptures. You say, well, Brother David, I might lose my job. Well, I'm going to claim Acts chapter 4, verse number 19 on your job. It's that you judge whether it's better to obey God or to obey man. I know that's not popular preaching, okay? But I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you go in and try to lose your job, but I'm saying this, if you can't speak about the scriptures at your job, can I tell you, something's wrong. I can promise you this, that other crowd ain't going to have no problem speaking about their God. That other crowd ain't going to have no problem talking about what they believe. And we as Christians, we can't let the devil get our tongue. We got to speak freely about the scriptures. We ought to be trying to quote scripture as often as we can. We ought to be using Scripture. You know what? That's one of the good things about... Well, it's not a good thing. Scratch that. It's not a good thing. But that's one of the things about living in this culture in which we're living. You could be planting seeds and they won't even know it. There was a day, if you would have quoted Scripture, everybody on the job site would have known. Now you could be quoting Scripture to them. They could say something to you and you could quote a Scripture to them and it'll go right over their head. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God might get in their heart. They won't even know you're quoting Scripture to them. Because we're living in a society that is ignorant of the Scriptures. You understand what ignorant means, right? They don't know. That's not an insult. It's they literally do not know. And you know why they don't know? Because we've stopped talking about it. Because we've allowed the devil to shut our mouths. This early church spoke freely about the Scriptures. Not only that, they spoke freely about the Savior. Look at Acts chapter 17, you're in verse number 3. It says that Paul reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. You know what they were? You know what they were speaking freely about in the book of Acts? They were not just speaking freely about the Scriptures. They were speaking freely about the Savior. They were talking about Jesus. Acts chapter 5 verse 42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house. Are you listening to me? You say, well, that's just Paul. I don't know. Acts chapter 5 says, and in every house. And in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Would to God that every house that represents Fellowship Baptist Church would speak freely about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. More about Jesus. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the early church was talking about. I'm going to tell you, I'm just being honest with you tonight. That's very convicting to me. Because if I'm not careful, I'll speak freely about a lot of things, but God help me not to speak freely about our Lord. Acts chapter 9 verse 20 says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. If you read through the book of Acts, you know what you're going to find over and over again? You're going to find a group of people that are constantly talking about Jesus. Constantly talking about. You know what Peter was preaching at Pentecost? Jesus. You know what Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 4? Jesus. You know what Paul was preaching? Jesus. You know what Philip was preaching to that eunuch, that Ethiopian eunuch? Jesus. You know what Stephen was preaching when they stoned him to death? Jesus. You know what Paul was preaching when he stood before Festus and before he stood before Felix and when he stood before Agrippa? He was preaching Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They were speaking freely about Jesus. We need a revival in our churches, in our country, in our Christianity of speaking freely about Jesus, right? And so they spoke freely about the Scriptures. They spoke freely about the Savior. They spoke freely about salvation. I love one of my favorite things in the book of Acts. Every time I read the book of Acts, I just get a blessing from it. You ought to go home. If you don't know what you're going to read in your personal Bible, or you don't have a schedule that you read by, you ought to get up tomorrow morning. You ought to read Acts chapter 24, Acts chapter 25, and Acts chapter 26. I just love how the Apostle Paul wants to tell people about how he got saved. From Acts chapter number 8, I think is it 8 or 9 he got saved? 9. Acts chapter 9, Paul got saved. You know what Paul does from Acts chapter 9 until the day he dies? Tells people about the road to Damascus. Paul, every opportunity he gets, he says, can I tell you about what happened to me on the road to Damascus? Can I tell you about what happened to me when I met Jesus? I mean, the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And we ought to speak freely about salvation. When was the last time you shared your testimony with somebody? You say, Brother David, I do it here in church. I'm not talking about at church. When was the last time you told somebody at work how you got saved? When was the last time you sit around a dinner table, maybe at a family get-together, at a family reunion, at a cookout, and you said, can I tell you about how I got saved? When was the last time that you got together with an old friend that you hadn't seen in a while around a cup of coffee, and you told them about how you got saved? There's just something special about telling people about when you got saved. I don't do it enough. I had the opportunity just a couple of weeks ago. I got a new guy working with me, and I had the opportunity to tell him about when I got saved. And as I was telling him, it just felt so good to tell my story. It felt so good to tell about how God saved me. And I challenge you, I encourage you tonight, tell somebody about salvation. Tell somebody about what happened to you. You read through the book of Acts, you know what them Christians were doing? They were telling people about how they got saved. Every opportunity they got, they wanted to tell somebody, God saved me. And so, number one, they spoke freely about the scriptures. They spoke freely about the Savior. They spoke freely about salvation. They spoke freely about sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, in the message Peter's preaching, he said, repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 3, 19, he said, repent, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, Ananias and Sapphira, Peter confronted them, and he said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He spoke freely about their sin. You could read on in Acts chapter number 7 when Stephen stood up and he preached that great sermon. You know what Stephen preached about? Sin. I mean, he called their sin. He called them a stiff-necked people. And you know what happened? They were cut to the heart. Acts chapter 5 verse 33 says they were cut to the heart. That was when Ananias and Sapphira, Peter, right after that situation, Peter preached. You know what it says? It says the people were cut to the heart. Acts chapter 7, after Stephen got done preaching, it says they were cut to the heart. There's no place that says they were pricked in their heart. They were so cut to their heart that it says they ran upon him and gnashed upon him with their teeth. Stoned him with stones, right? Why? Because he was preaching on sin. He was speaking freely about sin. You know, the devil shut us up. Can I say shut up? Is that okay? The devil's made us be quiet. I'm sorry, for those of you that's a bad word in your house, I'm sorry. The devil's made us be quiet about sin, right? He's shut our mouths when it comes to this thing of sin. And I'm not talking about being mean, right? Please don't misunderstand me. The Bible says that we ought to speak the truth in love, but we ought to speak the truth. There's nothing wrong with calling sin, sin. I think about the Apostle Paul when he was there in Acts chapter number 17. I don't know what verse it is, but it says that Paul, when he saw the city of Athens, it says that he was moved in his spirit. I mean, it just grieved Paul to see that those people there. And then he went there to Mars Hill, and it says that Paul stood up, and at Mars Hill, you know what he told those people? He said, God has winked at your sin. He said, but the time of ignorance is past. And he said, you need to repent. Paul called out their sin. And over in the book of Acts, what you'll see is people speaking freely about sin. And I think it's high time that we as Christians don't keep our mouths shut when it comes to sin. I know, and I'm not preaching for amens, okay? I want you to know that before I say that. I know who I'm preaching to tonight, and most of you agree with what I'm about to say. But abortion is sin. It's okay for us to say that. Homosexuality, or we could even use a Bible phraseology, sodomy is sin. It's okay for us to say that. This transgender movement that's going on in our society, where they're literally trying to have our children change their gender, is sin. It's okay for us to say that. I'm going to go even further than that, and I don't think we should do it being mean. But can I tell you, adultery is sin. And it's okay for us to say that. See, if we're not careful, what we're going to do as Christians is, I got some children coming up in my home, and I don't want them to think that that's okay. A man and a woman living together, or even fornicating, being together in an unnatural way, or in a relationship that when they're not married, can I tell you, that is sin. And when we don't say that, what we're doing is almost kind of ignoring it, and people might begin to think it's okay. It's not okay. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin, right? Lying is sin. We could go on and on about sin, but I'm afraid that we as Christians have just completely about shut our mouths when it comes to sin. Pastor was talking about it last Sunday night. We've just cowered down, and we've quit calling sin, sin. And so we're living in a society that has almost shut our mouths. And I'm not talking about going out and acting crazy and you know, being, you know, making ashamed to the gospel of Christ. Your spirit matters. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the early church, hey, they weren't afraid to talk about sin. And I'm glad we're at a church that's not afraid to talk about sin. We got a pastor that's not afraid to preach on sin. But I'm talking about out in the community. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about some young people going to school, and when a kid does something they shouldn't do, when they lie or they steal or they cheat, and you tell them, hey, that's not right, that's sin. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what you're supposed to do. That's a Christian. And so they spoke freely about sin. Last, I'll say this. They spoke freely about the supernatural. I already read Acts chapter 4, verse 22. It says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen." They said, we can't help but just talk about what we've seen. I mean, we've seen some things. These men that said that, you know what they saw? They saw the risen Savior. Peter and James and John, two of the men that said that were Peter and John. You know what they saw? They saw the transfigured Lord. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Jesus in His glory. They saw Jesus after He resurrected from the grave. They saw Jesus do great and mighty miracles. Even in Acts chapter 4, right before they made this statement, Peter had went and told that man that was lame at the gate of the temple. He told him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have thee, give I unto thee." He said, "Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And that man got up and walked. And Peter said, "Hey, you might want us to stop talking. You might want us to stop speaking. But we can't help but talk about what we've seen and heard. We've seen a man that was lame get up and walk. And we can't help but talk about it." Have you ever seen any supernatural? Have you ever seen God do something miraculous? You say, "Oh, Brother David, that's the book of Acts, and we're in a transition period." I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen God do some supernatural things. If you haven't, then your eyes are closed. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, I remember when Pastor challenged the church, said, we're gonna pay this building off by the end of the year. I think it was like October. And in my heart, I was thinking, I don't know about all that. Right? But you know what happened? You know what happened. We burned that note at our Christmas service that December. You know what that is? That's supernatural. That's God doing a miracle. I mean, I'm sitting here tonight. I think here in the next week or two, it ain't going to be long. Ellie's going to be sitting in the service. Ain't she turning four? She soon. Not that soon. Kirsten said, "Not yet. Don't rush it. Good night." But little Ellie's going to be sitting in the service here for too long. You know what that is? That's a miracle. That's supernatural. We've seen God do some miracles. We've seen God do some mighty things. The fact that the greatest miracle is that God would take a lost sinner and save him. God would dry up a drunk. God would sober up a drug addict. God would put back together a marriage. God can do the miraculous. And how can we not speak but the things we've seen? We've seen God do miracles. I'm looking back here. I remember when Buffy said we can't have kids. She's got four. That's supernatural, right? That's God showing up and showing out and doing what only God can do. And how can we not but speak of those things? They said, how are we going to be quiet? We can't help but talk about what we've seen and what we've heard and what God's done. They weren't afraid to talk about it. Hey, don't let the charismatic crowd shut your voice about the supernatural. God still does the supernatural. I still believe that God can heal cancer. I still believe that God can remove a tumor. Now, God might use a doctor, but God might not use a doctor. Doctor might be confounded when he does that MRI and he finds out that tumor's gone. Because God can do that. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, and we ought to speak freely about the supernatural. We serve a supernatural God, and we ought to tell people about it. God does the supernatural. They talked about the scripture. They talked about the Savior. They talked about sin. They talked about the supernatural. That's what they talked about. Now I want to look at the way they spoke freely. We see what they spoke freely about. I want to see the way they spoke freely. The way. Acts chapter 4, where are you at? In Acts 17? I think. I don't even know where you're at. You're at church. Look at Acts chapter 18. I'm not going to look at all these verses. That's why I'm asking where you're at. Acts chapter 18, if that's where you're at, was 17. It says in verse 18, in chapter 18, verse 25, it says, "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and talked diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Let's talk about Apollos. The Bible says that Apollos spoke the word of God boldly. He didn't know nothing but the baptism of John. You say, "Brother David, I haven't been saved long enough to speak boldly about the scriptures. I don't know many scriptures." Apollos, I said, didn't know nothing but the baptism of John. But you know what he done? He spoke boldly. He spoke boldly about what he did know. And Aquila and Priscilla came along and they said, "Hey, you man, you got a lot of zeal. You got a lot of boldness. Let us help you a little bit, teach you some things some other things you can teach." And if you read through the book of Acts, I think I looked it up this afternoon, 9 or 10 times the word bold or boldness or boldly is used. If you look up those words in your concordance, well over half the times, those words are used in your Bible. They're used in the book of Acts. I mean, you're talking about a bold group of Christians. You say, "We talked about what they spoke freely about. Now I'm talking about the way they spoke it." They spoke it with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Go to Acts chapter 4. I'm not going to show you all these verses, but I do want to show you in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They saw how bold Peter and John was, said, "Man, these guys ain't nothing but fishermen. This is a bunch of ignorant and unlearned men. But man, they're bold. They've been spending time with Jesus." Say, "Brother David, I'm not real educated. I'm just a painter. I'm just a carpenter. I'm just a mechanic. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I don't have a degree. I haven't been to college. I'm not what someone would call real educated. I'm not a real Bible scholar." Can I tell you? It don't matter. You spend time with Jesus and you'll speak with boldness. With boldness. You say, "What is boldness?" I looked it up. This is what I think boldness is. It's a confident courage. They were courageous. You look through the book of Acts and you're talking about some men that were courageous. We got to understand when Paul, you know, I love preaching like, "Man, Peter and John, they stood up and they looked him in the face and said, you know, whether it's better to obey man or God, you judge. But we can't help but speak the things which we have heard and seen." You do know they just got beat. Okay? You do know a couple chapters later, they stoned Stephen. Right? You do know that before Paul got saved, he was going house to house and the Bible says, wreaking havoc on the churches. Dragging them into the magistrates and putting them in prison and beating them with a whip. And so let's not just think it's all, just all real fluffy and flowery. No, these men were courageous. They were speaking the word of God in the face of opposition. They were speaking the word of God in the fear of going to prison. They were speaking the word of God knowing it may cost them their life. But they were bold. They were bold in their speaking for God. They had courage. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." I'm afraid the reason that a lot of us Christians, and I said us, are not as bold as we ought to be, it's because we're not as righteous as we ought to be. I hate to admit that, but I just think it's so. Sometimes we don't have courage. We don't have boldness. You say, "Why?" Well, it's probably because we're not righteous. We're not living right. We're not filled with the Spirit.
We're not reading the scriptures and saturating our lives with scripture and calling out sin and talking about the Savior and talking about the supernatural. And therefore, we don't have boldness and courage. But these men, they had courage. Not only did they have courage, but they had confidence, not in themselves, but in who they represented. See, they're confident. That word boldness, if you look it up, it literally, one of the definitions for it in the concordance, it says confident assurance. It's almost as if to say that they were bold because of what they were leaning on. Pastor was talking about leaning last week. They were bold, not in themselves, but they were bold in what they were leaning on. They were confident in who they were representing. That's where their boldness came from. Right? Kind of like, you know, when you was growing up and you had that friend or that big brother that was the toughest guy around, you know what I mean? He made you a little more bold, right? I mean, if I was hanging out with Alan Wayne, some guys was getting a little rough out on the playground. I bet you felt good, man. Kevin and Alan Wayne, great. That'd make you bold as a lion, right? You confident, right? Not in yourself. You confident in who's with you, right? That's what they're confident in who's with them. And they were bold. They had confidence. They had courage. They were confrontational. Can I tell you, if we're gonna speak freely, we're gonna confront people. I think a lot of times we don't want to be confrontational. I don't want to be confrontational. Well, I'm afraid that we cannot be a Christian without being confrontational. Can I tell you, Christianity is confrontational. Christianity is confrontational. Jesus said, I brought a sword. Ain't that what he said? He said, I brought a sword. You go to living for me, he said, it's going to confront some people. It's going to cut some people to the heart. It's going to prick them in their heart. They're not going to like it. But if we're going to speak freely, we're going to have to be bold, courageous, confident, confronting, right? And so we see the way in which they spoke freely. And then last, the why. This is what's really important. The why. The way was boldness. The why was belief. Say, Brother David, why am I not as bold as I should be? Better yet, Brother David, why are you not as bold as you should be? I believe it's got something to do with what I believe. See, belief will make you bold. Right? You with me? Go to Acts chapter 13. I'm getting ready to close it out here. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, I think I read this verse earlier, but I'll read it to you again. It says in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And then it says, verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. See, when you believe something, it affects your behavior. Belief is what makes us bold. And I could go on and on through the book of Acts with those examples. I want you to turn to a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't even know how I ran across this verse when I was studying for this message, but I thought, wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 13. I'm not going to read this entire chapter, and I'm not going to give the entire context, but chapter 4, verse 13, he says this: we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. That's a quote from Psalm 116, verse 10. Paul's saying, we got the same spirit of faith that David had in Psalm 116, verse 10. When he said, I'm going through a hard, and if you read Psalm 116, verse 10, what you'll find is, he said, I'm going through a hard place, I'm being afflicted, but I believed, and therefore I will speak. Because what I believe affects how I behave. It affects what I say. How bold that I am. Verse 13, he says, according to this written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Paul said, David said he believed, therefore he spoke, and he said, and we believe, and therefore we speak. Jesus said like this in Matthew, I think it's chapter 13, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Say, why am I not talking about Jesus? Why am I not speaking freely about salvation? Why am I not speaking freely about the supernatural? Maybe there's some unbelief that's got in your heart. Say, well, I need to believe, Brother David. We know what belief is, right? Faith. Say, I need some more faith so I can speak freely. Where does the Bible say faith comes from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm afraid the reason we're not speaking as freely as this crowd was, because we're not in the word of God like they were. I think the reason we're not speaking as freely as the church of 30, 40, 50 years ago was, it's because we're not in the word of God like they were. See, when you believe, it makes you bold. I was thinking about this, and I'll close with this thought right here. You know, that's why some people can speak so boldly about their candidate. There's some people, boy, they'll tell you in a heartbeat, Trump 2024, make America great again, right? I'm not minimizing it. I'm just saying, you know why they do that? Because they really believe he can make America great again. Can I tell you, I don't. I'm just being honest with you. Am I going to vote for him? I am. Shoot me if you want. I don't care. I say I am. I don't know. We might not get to. He might not be on the ballot, or we might not get to vote. I don't know. But if he's on the ballot and it comes that time, I'm sure not voting for Kamala Harris. Okay? And so it's okay to talk about politics. I already established that at the beginning of my message, all right? But I'm just saying this. Some people, all they want to talk about is Trump, 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 Trump. Hey, how about we talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus? Because can I tell you, Trump can't fix this mess, but Jesus can. But I'm afraid we got some Christians in 2024, they got more belief in the fact that Donald Trump can fix this country than they do that Jesus can, that the gospel can, that the Bible can. And I'm telling you, the reason we don't speak boldly, it's because we don't believe. People talk about what they believe in. That's why the left is so loud and proud about what they believe in. They're bold. Why? Because they believe it. But we as Christians, we've shut our mouths, and I believe it's because we don't believe like we once did. We're not in the Word of God like we once were. We're not living the Christian life like we're supposed to be. We're not filled with the Spirit like we're supposed to be. And therefore, we're not speaking freely as we ought to be. I'll close with a little humor here. Maybe not humor. You know, some people speak freely about their favorite team. I said that at the beginning. You know why all the Redskin fans, is Jonathan here? And Cowboy fans? Is Don here? You know why they'll say, man, this year's our year. We're gonna get it together this year. Because they really believe that. They really believe that. And so they're bold about it, right? I'm just picking at Washington and Cowboy fans because I'm an Eagles fan, right? But I'm serious though. Some people they really, I mean, have you ever met a fan that is just like, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not unreasonable, but they're unrealistic. That's right. Eagles fans, they're unrealistic, right? You got this fan base, they don't live in reality. We'll just pick on the Redskins. Redskins, we've won, y'all've won, they don't ever win, right? It's the Redskins fans, right? Or Commanders, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call them the Redskins, all right? The Washington football team, all right? They really, some of them unreasonable fans really think it's our year. They really believe that. And they're bold, man. They buy the merchandise, get season tickets, paint their face, go out there every Sunday. They really believe this is our year, right? That's why people are bold. Because they believe. And I'm afraid as Christians, maybe we just don't believe like we once did. God, help me to believe. I want to believe. I want to be bold. I want to close with this. You said that three times. This, I really mean it this time. I wonder what we can speak that way about. They spoke freely. Can you? Can you? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the answer? Do you believe that God still does supernatural? Do you believe that God still saves sinners? If you do, then be bold. Don't let the devil get your tongue. I challenge you. I challenge myself this week. It's convicting to me as I was preparing this message. I'm not near as bold as I once was. God, help us as Christians to speak freely about our Savior, about salvation, about the Scriptures, about sin, about the supernatural. God, help us to speak freely. The rest of the world is. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet.